Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is worthy of all of our worship, worthy of all of our praise. Lord, what a privilege it is to sing these songs to you, to worship you. What a privilege it is to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and lift up your name. Father, as we continue to worship you this morning, as we open up your word, Father, would you guide and direct us? Would you open up our eyes to things that we haven't seen before? Would you remind us of truths that maybe we've known for a while, but we need to be reminded of? Lord, I pray that you would use your word to challenge us this morning and also bless us, encourage us for the week ahead. And Father, thank you so much that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. Pray that we would keep our eyes fixed and focused on you, no matter what is happening around us. Help us to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us live lives that are worthy of the gospel, lives that are lifting you up on a daily basis, Lord. And would the people around us see the difference? Would the people around us see the salt and light that is in us because you have transformed us, because you are conforming us to the image of your Son? We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. We pray that we would continue to be faithful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. You may be seated again. So a few years ago, Ashley and Eli and I, we took a little trip, to a little getaway, and we were checking into the hotel. It was just a one or two night stay, if I remember correctly. And the hotel had one of those restaurants connected to it. And it was one of those restaurants where they bring meat on a big sword and they bring it to your table and they just keep bringing meat to your table. As long as you have this little token, and if it's green, meat comes. If you flip it over red, I don't know why you do that, but if you flip it over red, the meat stops coming, right? Pretty simple. So anyway, we check into the hotel and they said, oh, by the way, here is a coupon for the restaurant. And we're like, okay, look at the coupon. It was like 70% off or something like that. So we're like, it would be foolish not to go, okay? So Eli was still really young at this time. I think he was about 3. And so we go to this restaurant and it's a little nicer and we're thinking, what's he going to do? I mean, it's meat, right? And it just keeps coming. So we're planning on spending, you know, some time here, right? You know, roll up our sleeves. So we're thinking, okay, maybe if we need to, we'll break out the phone, let them watch something, you know, be those parents, just so we can enjoy, right? So the meat starts coming, and it was all sorts of things. And if you're a vegetarian, I'm sorry for this story, but it was awesome. And it just keeps coming and keeps coming, and they had my favorite rack of lamb. Oh, I love that. And so we're watching Eli, and he's eating this, you know, whatever we're kind of giving him. He's just chewing on it a little bit. And then he looked at Ashley's plate, and there is, you know, some chicken bones and the rack of lamb and another bone there. And he looks at her plate, and he grabs the bone, and he just starts gnawing on it. And he says, Mom, you left so much meat on this thing. And so, of course, we had to, you know, text Ashley's dad, who, for her whole life, says, that bone is not clean. And so ever since then, anytime we have any sort of meat that has a bone attached to it, Eli just starts gnawing on it. It was an interesting story. I think about it often because that picture of my son just chomping down on a bone is a fun picture and fun memory in my mind. But I was thinking, the reason why I'm bringing it up, one, is because we're going to talk about meat this morning, not in the way that I just described, but it's going to come up, and I want us to have a picture of a little kid chewing on a bone. Why? Because there are differences of opinion sometimes on how we should handle business. There's difference of opinion sometimes on how we should eat, how we should enjoy days. And Paul is actually going to talk to us today in Romans chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to that. What Paul is not talking about is core doctrine. Paul is not talking here in this section about things that make you either a Christian or not a Christian. He's actually spent the entire book of Romans talking about doctrine. This is not a section where he says, okay, everything that I've talked about, just throw it out. If you want to believe this, you can believe that. If you want to believe that, you can believe that. No, it's not a free-for-all. What he's talking about here in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, are about secondary things. They're about things that are much lower on the scale of priority. And for you and I, maybe the issue of whether you should eat meat or not eat meat doesn't quite register. But when we put our minds in the mindset of the church that's first getting this letter in about 57 AD, once we look at the context, it will make a lot more sense. I had a good couple that I told the story about Eli chomping on the bones to, and they gave us an apron that said, being a vegetarian is a huge missed steak. I like that. But I want us to understand that what Paul is saying here, it's not necessarily for our 21st century whether you should be a vegetarian or not. What Paul is saying here is what it looks like to live in community with one another, what it looks like to focus on good, true doctrine, and also give leverage and leeway for secondary and third level issues, different opinions that might arise. This whole section, by the way, when we start in chapter 12, going forward, this whole section is really aimed at how we as believers should live in community with one another. How we as believers live out what it looks like to be a believer. If we've spent all these chapters, the first 11 chapters or so, focusing on how you are become a believer, the last few chapters are focusing on now that you are a believer, this is how you should act. Now that you are a believer, this is what it looks like. And chapter 14 continues on with that. So I'm going to read chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, and then we'll go back and we'll walk through them together. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another, if it is before his own master that he stands or falls? And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind that one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord, and give thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. I remember when I was a young believer, the first time I read through the book of Romans, there was a lot of things that stuck with me. And I get to this portion, and I get to chapter 2, or verse 2 of chapter 14, and I snickered a little bit. Maybe some of us are snickering too, because the wording, as we read it in English, it sounds kind of funny. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Again, if we were only looking at through the 21st century lens, we might snicker. We might understand that this seems a little funny, and it's against those who, unlike Eli, don't want to gnaw on bones. But that's not exactly what Paul is saying. And in order to understand what Paul is saying, let's first go back to verse 1. As for the weak in faith, welcome him. That first phrase that we see there, as for the weak in faith, welcome him, is a good reminder that each and every one of us have a duty, an obligation, a privilege to welcome other believers. Now, remember who Paul is talking to, who he's writing to. He's writing to the church in Rome. The church in Rome is comprised of both believers that have a Jewish heritage and believers who have a Gentile heritage. So he's writing to two groups of people that have vastly different backgrounds, vastly different customs that they've come from, vastly different understandings of how life works before they put their trust in Jesus. And he's writing to two groups of people that could look at each other and point and say, well, I'm really glad that I'm not them. He's writing to two groups of people that could look at each other and say, well, I'm really glad that I'm not so weak as they are. Or they could look at each other and say, well, I'm really glad that I am not as loose as they are. Writing to two groups of people. And as I think about this, the interesting thing is this principle can apply to all churches everywhere throughout all time. Because is it true that each of us have the same exact background? Is it true that each of us have the same exact understanding of how life works? No. In fact, as you see adults that are siblings, you look at each other and you look at how different siblings turn out, even if they come from the same household. We all have different backgrounds, and life has hit us in a different way, and we all have different understandings of what is good and what is not good. And Paul's saying, look at one another and welcome each other. If there's one who's been in the faith for a long time, welcome them. If there's someone who just recently became a Christian, welcome them. Whatever baggage they may come in with, you welcome them. Because as a church, it is our duty, it's our privilege, and it's our honor to point and hold to true doctrine. It's our obligation as the church to look at the gospel and say, this is the determining factor of whether you're in or you're out. The gospel is what matters. Who our understanding of who Jesus is, that's what matters. Again, Paul spent 11 chapters walking through the gospel, helping us to understand what it looks like to be a true believer in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, this is what matters. Now, there are going to be things that you could disagree on. There's going to be things that you will have opinions on. But he says this, welcome the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. Do not quarrel over opinions. Different translations translate that word differently. Some say disagreements. Some translations say instead of opinions, they talk about things that are debatable. The whole point of Paul's wording here is for us to understand that he is making a distinction between the undebatable, the gospel, who Jesus is, who our God is, and what he's done. He's making a distinction between the undebatable and the things that we can have opinions over. The things that we can disagree with agreeably. The things that we can look at one another and say, well, you know what, I really think that this means that. There are some things in the Bible, as Paul's already walked us through in Romans, that are so clear. There are some things that are so spelled out that we cannot look at and say, well, I think that if we stand on our head and do some hermeneutical gymnastics, then we could get to this spot. There's clear things. And as the church, we have a duty, an obligation, an honor to call one another to repentance in Jesus. We have a duty and obligation to call one another to a life that is worthy of the gospel by which we've been called. To look at Romans 8 and Romans 12 and says, this is the marks of a true Christian. This is how we should live. And then again, there are things that are opinions, debatable. Verse 2, he starts to give us some examples. One person believes that he may eat while the weak person eats only vegetables. So there's been debate amongst scholars about what exactly Paul is talking about. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about food that is sacrificed to idols. And so if we're going to put our Roman 57 AD brains on for just a second, jump into the context, we recognize that in Rome, much like in Corinth, there were people who would sell meat that was sacrificed to an idol, that was sacrificed and used in temples. They would sell this meat at a discount price. This is the cheap meat that you get because it's already been handled, it's already been used, and it's been sacrificed to an idol. So the interesting thing is that in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul talks specifically about meat that's been sacrificed to idols. He talks specifically about how believers should interact with one another in regards to the question of whether we should eat this meat or not. But here, Paul doesn't use that wording. So could he be talking about those who choose to abstain from eating meat that was sacrificed to an idol? Probably. But what he's more likely talking about in this section is about those who would look at the Mosaic law and they would say, I am unsure that the meat that I'm buying and the meat that I'll be eating, I'm unsure if it's been tainted by all these other things that I find in the Mosaic law that would somehow maybe infect this meat. And so I'm going to choose to abstain from it all. An example we see is Daniel and his three friends in the book of Daniel. They choose to abstain from the king's meat because they have a conviction that they're not going to eat anything that was stained by an idol and the worship that takes place there. And so they choose to only eat vegetables. And so Paul is most likely talking about those who would be looking back at the Old Testament Mosaic law and saying, I just want to be extra sure that everything I'm doing is okay. I want to be extra sure that the way I'm living and the food that I'm eating, I want to be extra sure that I am not crossing any sort of line. Most likely, those are those who have a Jewish background. And perhaps even some Gentiles that are looking at the Jewish friends and believers amongst them and are saying, okay, yeah, I want to be like them. They are following Moses and the law. And sure, I want to be extra sure too. And what Paul says in verse 3, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. That should be easy enough, right? Should be easy enough for us to look at one another and say, hey, if I'm going to eat this, I'm not going to look down on those who abstain. And conversely, let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. That's an interesting thing too, isn't it? Because Paul seems to know that there are some that would look and say, hey, I am not doing this thing. And you guys are. And so since I'm not doing this thing and that you guys are, that's another feather in my cap. That's another thing that I can be proud of, what I'm doing. He says, for God has welcomed him. Don't pass judgment on the one who abstains, and don't despise the one who abstains, and don't pass judgment on the one who partakes. Why? Because God has welcomed him. That's the reasoning that Paul has. He says there are those who are thinking in this line, and there are those who are thinking in this line of thinking. And instead of passing judgment on one another, instead of looking down on one another, instead of looking at each other, no, you should recognize that God has welcomed them. Why? Because of chapters 1 through 11. Because of the gospel. Because God has welcomed them in. Verse 4, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. What we see here is Paul saying, okay, listen, who are you to look at another believer and say, because you have a different opinion on this disputable thing, not the gospel, but because you have an opinion on this disputable thing, I'm going to pass judgment. No, who are we to pass judgment on the servant of another? That's how believers are referred to, the servants of God. We are not servants of another, of each other, we're servants of God. And it is before his own master that he stands and falls. The idea behind that phrase is that we essentially are accountable to our Lord. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Verse 5, he now says, okay, we've talked about meat for a little while. Let's talk about days of the week. As we look at the days of the week, there are those that come from a Jewish background that would hold to the Sabbath. And if you look at the calendar, the Sabbath is, as we would call it, Saturday. It's the last day of the week. And those who are coming from a Jewish background that want to be in keeping with the Mosaic dietary laws, those who would also look back at the law and say, okay, I need to make sure that I'm keeping in step with everything that was given in the law of Moses, so I'm going to keep the Sabbath. And I'm going to make sure that that is the day that I celebrate as holy. I'm also going to keep all of the feast days. I'm going to keep all these things, and I'm going to make sure that I am observing them. And then you have those that are coming from a Gentile background. These are the people that have no background in what the Mosaic Law has to say. These are folks that are just simply hearing the word of the Lord that Jesus came to save them. They're putting their trust in Jesus. And so they are looking at one another and saying, what day should we gather to worship? What day should we gather to make holy, to consecrate before the Lord? Well, they are in keeping with what the early church did. They are looking at the first day of the week. When Jesus rose from the dead, the resurrection took place on the first day of the week. All four Gospels make explicit mention on the first day of the week, Sunday, being the day where our Lord rose from the dead. And so that's the day that the early church set aside to celebrate, to come together, to worship. That tradition keeps living today as we look at the first day of the week, Sunday, and we say, hey, this is the day that the Lord rose from the dead. And so we gather together. So effectively, every Sunday gets to be Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday gets to be Easter. But Paul says, hey, guess what? No, there's some of you that are trying to hold to the old covenant and the old traditions. And there's some that are saying, no, it's only Sunday. We're not going to hold these feast days. We're not going to do those things. Why? Because we have freedom. Because, you know, Peter, he had this vision of of a bunch of pork chops coming down. And he had this vision, and he heard these words, anything, everything that I've made is clean. Don't call anything unclean that I've made clean. And so the dietary laws, we're not bound by those dietary laws anymore. And you know what? The days of the week thing, now we recognize that Jesus, he is our Sabbath rest. And so we're gonna remember him. And we're gonna make sure that we gather together on a day that we're recognizing and remembering when he rose from the dead, because it's all pointing to him. And Paul says, okay, one person esteems one day as better than the other, while another esteems them all alike. Again, that's the Jewish-Gentile divide that we see there. Each should be fully convinced in his own mind. Each should be fully convinced in his own mind. There is this habit that Christians have had for centuries now. And this idea that we are, if we have an opinion about something, I'm sure none of you are opinionated, by the way, but we have an opinion about something, and we have this desire that if I have an opinion about something, I want you to have the same opinion about this. You ever pick up on that? Yeah, I think some of us have picked up on that. And so Paul says each should be fully convinced in his own mind. That's a warning for us to not bind one another's consciousnesses on these debatable things. He's saying, listen, while you may think it's this way and another believer thinks it's this way, be careful that you're not binding one another's consciences. Why? Because verse 6, the one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. Ah. So we're supposed to assume the best out of one another. Easy, huh? The one who observes one day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Everything we do should be in honor of the Lord. Everything we do should be for him and to him. We shouldn't perform in front of one another. Our motivations for doing things and our motivations for the opinions on the smaller level doctrines, those should not be performative. Instead, we should be fully convinced in our own mind and seek to give honor to the Lord. He's telling these believers, he's saying, listen to one another. The one who chooses to observe one day of the week and the one who chooses to only eat vegetables, you should give each other the benefit of the doubt. You should assume the best out of each other. And the one who is choosing that lifestyle, if they are believing in the gospel, if they are clearly saying that Jesus is the only way for salvation, Paul is actually really, really strict about that one, as we should be too. Because in the book of Galatians, there were some that were looking at the Old Testament law, and they were saying, okay, yeah, this Jesus thing, Jesus is great. But you have to do Jesus plus all these other things, and then you can be saved. That doesn't seem to be the case with these believers here in Rome. It's not as though they are trying to say that they're doing these things in order to save themselves. They're not saying it's Jesus plus observing certain days. They're not saying it's Jesus plus vegetables only. They're not saying that. These are believers who are clear in their faith. They are saved by faith, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They're justified by faith in him. So these are believers that are clear on the gospel. They just don't want to eat the meat. They just want to observe certain days. And Paul is saying, listen, they're doing that because in their mind, where they are in their journey, where they are on their walk, they're doing those things in order to honor God. So assume the best out of them. As long as they got the gospel right, as long as they are living a life that is worthy of that gospel, as long as you look at their lives and you see Romans 8, you look at their lives, you see Romans 12, if you see that, then be patient with them. Be loving with them. Don't judge them. Don't look down on them. And conversely, those who look at the days of the week and say, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter what day it is. I'm going to honor God. It doesn't matter what day it is. I'm going to live my life for Him. It doesn't matter what day it is. He's created every day. In fact, this is the day that the Lord has made. Whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. He's made it. So I'm going to give honor to Him. And you know what? I really like meat. And that meat over there comes at a really cheap price. So I'm going to partake in that. And Paul's saying, for those folks, if you're over here, don't look at those folks over there and look down on them. Don't look at them and think that they're doing something wrong. Don't look at them and see that they're, and try to put your own conscious conviction on them. No, recognize and assume the best out of them. Assume that everything they're doing for and in honor of the Lord. Because we keep reading, the one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. This is a good reminder. After Paul clears the air and says, hey, I've given you these couple of examples of things that you can disagree on, things that you can have different opinions on, I want to bring it back. I want to remind you of why we do these things. None of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. It's a good reminder for each and every one of us believers that no matter what we're doing, no matter how we live, no matter the situation we are in, we belong to Him. If we truly are trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, if we truly have put our trust in Him to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to wear His righteousness, that His righteousness has been credited to our accounts. If we're truly trusting Him that we don't have any condemnation because we are free in Christ Jesus, if we truly are trusting that God is conforming us to the image of His Son, if we truly believe that, and if we truly live that out, then you and I, we belong to Him. Because John chapter 1, verse 12, it tells us that all who believed in His name, who received Him, He gave the rights to be called children of God. Those who are children of God, we belong to Him. He has adopted us, as Paul tells us in Corinthians. He has adopted us as sons and daughters, those who are far away and far off, as Ephesians says. He's brought near. He's brought close. Those who didn't know Him, now they know Him. And we belong to Him. So it's no longer about you. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about living my life for me, myself, and I, and making sure that I'm most comfortable, making sure that everything is the way I want it, and those that are around me, they need to think, look, act, smell like me. No, I don't belong to myself. I'm His. As you, if you believe in Jesus, you don't belong to yourself. You're His. And if we are the Lord's, then that is the thing that binds us together. No matter what our background is, no matter what we think about fringe things, things that aren't as clear in the Bible, things that we look at and we say, I don't quite know where I should land on that. We look at one another and we say, we're His. And then we end with this, I call it a comforting warning. It's a comforting warning because let me start reading verse 9. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. There's a comforting part there. As we look at one another and say, hey, why do we judge or despise one another? We all, at the end of the day, all things are level and equal at the foot of the cross. So at the end of the day, we all have to stand before the judgment seat. At the end of the day, we all got to stand before Him and be held accountable for the choices that we make. Be held accountable for where our conscience has taken us. Be held accountable for our thoughts, our words, our actions. And we have this quote here from Isaiah. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. There's comfort in knowing that at the end of the day, God's in charge. There's comfort in knowing that at the end of the day, all people, no matter where our background was, all will fall at their knees and say, yep, He's in charge. He's King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords. And for believers, we do that with great fear, with great trepidation, with great respect, with a smile on our face, because we say, yes, He is Lord. And I've hitched my wagon to Him, because everything that I have done, it falls short of what He's done. And He's in charge. And because He's in charge, the fact that I put my trust in Him, that's what matters. But then we have verse 12. Here's the warning. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. There's comfort in knowing who our God is and what He's done. There's comfort in knowing our position to Him as children of God who have put our trust in Jesus. We are now saved. We have salvation. It's not going to be as though salvation will be snatched away from us. But did you hear that warning? Hey, you guys are worried about what the other person over here is doing. Hey, remember that at the end of the day, you got to face the judge. And you got to give an account of your actions. You got to give an account of your thoughts. You got to give account of your words. Your conscience that you have, that God has given you, the Holy Spirit as He's guided you into this consciousness, yeah, you're going to have to give an account of that. Maybe salvation's not at stake, but certainly rewards, position close to Him. And just the very fact that if you have done something, whether it is something that you would hang your head at or be proud of and thankful of, just the very fact that at the end of the day, you're going to have to face God on that. You got to give an account of all the things you've done before Him, the supreme ruler and judge of the universe. And so we put this in perspective. Paul begins talking about meat and vegetables and our opinions on those. He begins talking about the things that we might squabble over and that have, unfortunately, in the past and still today, caused church divisions. He starts talking about those small things and he ends reminding us, hey, you know what? At the end of the day, we all stand before the same judge. He's the one that's in charge. It's His opinion that matters. And because it's His opinion that matters, why don't we make sure that the things that we need to guard, the gospel, true orthodoxy, we hold one another account for that. And then those other things, our opinions on the things that aren't quite clear, our opinions on the things that maybe some of us haven't journeyed that far in the faith yet to understand, why don't we leave that up to God? Why don't we, as the free church says, major on the major, minor on the minors. We can have good opinions about these things, but at the end of the day, let's recognize that our Lord, we're going to have to stand before Him. And if we are standing before Him, then that should give us the motivation today to whether we make this choice or that choice. Let's make those choices with eternity in mind. Let's make our follow our convictions with eternity in mind, with a recognition that there's much more to life than just this moment here right now. And the believers that you're interacting with, the call is to welcome them. No matter where they are in the journey, welcome them. Why? Because the one that you're going to stand before one day, he's already welcomed them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have encouraged us and challenged us to make sure that we are welcoming one another, to make sure that we are not getting carried away by opinions and disagreeable things. Lord, I pray that you would use your word to bring into focus the things that truly do matter. Help us to be sure on the gospel. Help us to be sure on who you are, who your Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is. Let us be sure of our salvation. And Lord, let us make the decisions that we make today, let us make those decisions with eternity in mind. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to have that at the forefront of our mind. Whether we choose to do one thing or another, Lord, I pray that we don't pass judgment on each other, that we don't despise one another, that we welcome each other, and we remind one another that at the end of the day, you're in charge, and we're going to have to face you. So, Lord, I pray that when we do face you, you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And when we do face you, that we will have many crowns to cast at your feet and to worship you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Spend some time fellowshipping with one another. I do believe that there is sausage over there.